Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
It happened the moment the game was concluded and a microphone was placed under his chin for a response. The Alabama Crimson Tide's national championship winning quarterback Tua Tagovailoa went right into it. Then it happened again when the world champion Philadelphia Eagles clinched a win in the Super Bowl. Multiple players wasted no time going there. And then just this past Saturday, when Justify won the third leg of horse racing's Triple Crown, Mike Smith, the jockey riding Justify in Saturday night's Belmont Stakes, could have said anything in his first television interview, but instead of thanking the horse's owner and the trainer, the very first thing he told NBC while being interviewed on horseback following the race was this: "First of all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Well, if you know anything about horse racing, if you watched the race on Saturday, Justify led all the way in New York's Belmont Stakes, winning the 1 3/4 lengths mile race to gain immortality as horse racing's 13th Triple Crown winner. And at the age of 52, Smith, who is a devout Christian, is the oldest jockey ever to win the Triple Crown. He told CBN News last month how he prepares for a big race. He says, "What I do is I train, strategize, and then pray." Well, Smith garnered extra attention after the Kentucky Derby back in May when he thanked Jesus during his first interview after crossing the finish line. In fact, he told reporters this, and I quote, "I just want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for blessing us on this afternoon and blessing us with this amazing horse." He went on and said this: "I just couldn't keep it inside of me. I truly give God all the glory, and I had to say it. Without him, I wouldn't have anything, including the success that I currently have." Smith said all that when he's mounted on his horse and he follows God, he said, as he would just normally do. And he said that's with everyday life, too. When God's leading you, you just follow him. Well, Mike Smith began his career in 1982. He said he's ridden plenty of horses, but that there is just something special about this horse, Justify. In fact, Mike said he's sent from heaven. He's just got this it factor. Well, with that, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Dave Kistler. I'm accompanied today by the entire team, Sam Rohrer, Gary Dull. And our theme is going to be this: giving an answer loud and clear, Christians speaking up courageously. 1 Peter 3:15 says this: "But sanctify," which means make holy or give proper place to the Lord God in your hearts, "and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear." And there's been a multiplicity of people doing precisely that when presented the opportunity to speak on some fairly large stages. And here to help us with our discussion today is a former state championship winning high school coach. He's a follower of all things sports, but he's also a rabid Alabama fan and my brother. His name is Dan Kistler. Dan, I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, it's my privilege to be with you. Looking forward to the program.
Well, Dan, something quite amazing has been happening with sports personalities recently, and that's what I've been alluding to. I mean, Christian athletes are seemingly rising like cream to the top. I mean, you've got Tua Tagovailoa at Alabama. You've got the Alabama punter, J.K. Scott, doing something really amazing, and that's praying with the president. When the team was at the White House, he later talked unequivocally about not just that, but about his Christian faith. And now most recently, on Saturday, we have Mike Smith speaking up in an unashamed way after winning horse racing's biggest prize. It's like sports events are the appetizer for these guys, but their bold witness is the entree. That's the thing that's most important to them. So I want to go to you, Dan, because you've followed this for a long time. What do you think's going on here?
Well, Dave, you know, you and I talked about this Saturday after the horse race. I believe this, and we've talked about this before, but I believe this with all my heart. God will give you a platform from which to honor him if he knows that you will take the opportunity he gives you and honor him. And so the guys like Tua Tagovailoa, J.K. Scott, and then, of course, Mike Smith, the Lord knows, of course, everything, and he knew that they would take advantage of the opportunity that he would give them, so he gave them the platform from which to honor him, and they have done that. And, Dave, I think it's interesting, too, the name of the horse, Justify. Isn't that an interesting name? You know, we talk in the Christian realm about justification by faith. I don't know why the horse's name was given that. I have no clue, but it is interesting that that was its name. And also want to say one other thing real quickly. You know, we are to honor and glorify the Lord, whether we experience success like these individuals we've just mentioned do or not. We are to give the Lord glory even in the bad times. You know, Hebrews 11 talks about the great heroes of the faith that God delivered, but there were some he did not deliver, but they glorified him anyway. And we got to keep that in mind. Sometimes the platform that God gives us from which to glorify him is not the national championship stage or a winning of a horse race stage. It's just honoring the Lord even in the difficult times.
Dan, it's a delight to have you with us, and I appreciate all the accolades Dave gave you. Rapid Alabama fan, we'll talk about that later. But nevertheless, on this situation, do you think that there's a correlation between the success that's being achieved on the field, on the court, on the racetrack, whatever the case may be, and the fact that so many of these people that we're talking about have been achieving success in their Christian life, and they are Christians? I mean, how can you explain this phenomenon?
Well, Brother Gary, I'll say it this way. I think God honors those who honor him and honor biblical principles and honor truth. And I'll use an example of Nick Saban at Alabama. I don't know that Nick Saban's a Christian. I don't know that at all. But I do believe if you study his life and what he calls the process by which Alabama, you know, prepares for games, he has stumbled on biblical truth and emphasized those things to his players. And I think God will honor truth no matter where it comes from. And I think these guys who know the Lord and are honoring truth, I think that's part of the reason they've experienced the success that they have.
Well, Dan, let me just kind of continue on with that. You know, we do a lot of discussion on this program about how God is working around the world. In a case like this, Matthew 24:14, in that passage, Christ is looking towards the end time, and he says that there will come a time when the gospel is preached around the world to all nations, that the end will come. If you look at everything else that's happening prophetically and put this piece into it, do you think there's a part of this that we should look at as a prophetical indication as well, perhaps, how God is moving?
Yes, I do, Sam. Matter of fact, Dave and I have talked about this quite a bit. I believe the fact that we see these individuals giving honor to the Lord, I think it's an indication that we are definitely in the end times and close to the Lord's return. So the Lord is fulfilling what Matthew talks about, enabling the gospel to be preached around the world. So, yes, I think there's a prophetic component to it.
You know, Dan, we're talking here about Christians speaking up, and that's our theme, giving an answer loud and clear, Christians speaking up courageously. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back from this very brief timeout, we're going to continue this discussion, and we're going to talk about others that are speaking up courageously at this very important time in not just U.S. history, but in global history. Again, our theme, giving an answer loud and clear. Don't miss this insightful discussion. Right after this brief timeout, you're listening to Stand in the Gap Today. Join us right after the break.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you to the team that you have working with you. I'll tell you one thing about your show. You accomplish more in less time to advance the gospel and to advance knowledge and understanding of seriously any radio show I know of. So congratulations.
Those kind words from Congressman Michelle Bachmann summarize what our guests say about Stand in the Gap Today. This is Sam Rohr. On this program, we bring honest analysis of today's news to you and millions of Americans every day. With a newspaper in one hand and the Word of God in the other, we connect the dots between what's happening and what God says about what's happening in light of the Bible and the Constitution. From the mouths of our co-hosts, all preachers, whether former members of the House of Representatives or an evangelist to a millennial pastor or a senior pastor of 40 years, Stand in the Gap Today is here for you, unique, current, trustworthy. Pray for us. Stand with us financially by going to standinthegapradio.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Well, they've ranged from those in politics to those in the pulpit, whether it was Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson, or the son of Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, or the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. Our president always has someone lead in prayer at his rallies. And then, as some of you are probably aware, the president has a 28 to 30 member spiritual advisory council made up of some very well-known and influential evangelical pastors and ministers. And the reason I'm bringing this up is simply to make this point. As one who's been involved in ministry in D.C. for going on 20 years now, I have to admit that something very unique is happening at this moment. Now, it's not that we don't have issues with which we need to deal. It's not that we're in the middle of another revival in America, because at this point, we are not. And it's not that there isn't division across the length and breadth of the land, because there is. But one would have to be blind not to see that a dramatic shift has taken place since the election of President Donald J. Trump. So, Dan, I want to go back to you and ask you this. We're talking about giving an answer loud and clear, and it seems like right now in Washington, D.C., it seems like in the sports community, it seems like nationwide and in many ways worldwide, that Christians have been emboldened to speak up more clearly, more forcefully, more forthrightly than they've done perhaps ever in our lifetime. So in your mind, is there a correlation between the bold witness that we're seeing among so many prominent believers and the fact that President Donald Trump sits in the White House at this moment?
Yes, I do, Dave. I believe there's a definite connection. You know, we've talked about this before, you and I have. Every time you're in Washington, depending on what administration's in office, there's a different feel to the city. And definitely there's a different feel now that President Trump is in office. And I do believe that Christian people who prayed so hard prior to this election are now taking advantage of the outcome of this election and really making our faith known. So I definitely believe there's a correlation between the election of our president and, of course, the stand that Christians are taking, something we should have done long ago. But thank the Lord, Christians are taking advantage of the opportunity that God's given us.
Dan, I'm in the series of messages here at the church I pastor, Faith Baptist, on biblical revival. What's it all about? And I mentioned yesterday that back in 2015, 2016, we began to pray that God would give us a president that at least would lay the foundation for a revival in America. And he gave us Donald Trump, probably one that we would not suspect that would lay the foundation for that. But as we have looked over the past year and a half, we see that in many ways he has done that. Now, one key area in this discussion has to do with respect to what he said about the Johnson Amendment to the tax code. He said that he would work to override that so that preachers would not really have too much of a problem to speak out against the things that are deemed political over the pulpit. And Sam and I were in a meeting when he announced that up in New York City, and of course he is following through with that. My question to you is, has that emboldened preachers and believers in general in being free to speak the truth?
Yes, Gary, I think it has. And again, I think we would all agree, you know, preachers should preach the truth regardless, you know, of what the tax code says or whatever. But I do believe that his stand relative to the Johnson Amendment has emboldened preachers to now take a stand that maybe before they were tentative or maybe a little scared to do. And Gary, I'll say this too, you know, for those who are listening that may be bothered by the fact that Donald Trump is the one that the Lord is now using in America to promote the issues that we're talking about, all you have to do is look back in history, in England's history, and the man who started the English Reformation was a lost man by the name of Henry VIII, and his stand against the Catholic Church, he was not a godly man by any means, but his stand against the Catholic Church is what prompted the English Reformation. So God can use anybody. This should not be a shock that the Lord is using our current president.
And Dan, just kind of continuing on, because we're talking in the section about what perhaps could be motivating those who have made some accomplishments like the ones we talked about today to stand up and speak more boldly. What's your thoughts on this as well? During the last administration, obviously, there was a very significant downward pressure leading really to persecution of believers in this country led by the Obama administration. And I have to say that had that election gone the way they expected, we'd be talking different things here right now. But there does appear to be at least a window of opportunity that those who know the truth are sensing and believing. Do you think that that is a motivational tool, perhaps, to giving boldness to others to speak up?
Yes, Sam, I do. Those of us who followed politics for some time, you remember during the Carter administration, there was so much prayer for a change of his administration, and Reagan was elected, and then, you know, kind of Christians, I think, kind of went to sleep after his election and it really didn't take advantage of the opportunity, the window of opportunity God gave us then. And I think this time Christians, I know in my life and I know those that I, pastors that I associate with and even just Christians I associate with, we're not letting this opportunity slip by. We're going to take every advantage of what the Lord has given us, how long it will last, you know, who knows, but we're taking advantage of every big window of opportunity that God's given us.
You know, Dan, I agree with you 100%. I know every church that I'm honored and privileged to speak in, I take Sunday night to try to share with them what God is doing, specifically in Washington, D.C., because they never see any of it on the news. CNN, MSNBC, even Fox News does not report on these things. But God is alive and well, and the open door, the open window, the reprieve, the respite, whatever you want to call it, is definitely there. And I agree with you, Dan. I don't see right now people squandering the opportunity. I think they understand this may be a once-in-a-lifetime thing, that we're getting an opportunity to be bold about our faith, and so people are trying to step up and take advantage of that. I want to ask you one last question, and I know we're coming to the end of this segment. We have to let you go. But looking down through history, and you are a history expert, is there a correlation between political movements in a country and spiritual awakenings in a country? In other words, are there sometimes revivals that follow political movements? Are there political movements that follow revivals? Is there a correlation between the two that you could share with our listeners?
Yes, Dave, there is. The situation in England with Henry VIII, it started out as a political movement and led to an actual Reformation. And then our situation in America, the first Great Awakening in the 1740s here in America ultimately led to a political movement, you know, the founding of our country. So it can go both ways, and there is historical evidence for that.
Sam, let me ask you this, if I could, very, very quickly. We obviously do have a unique situation. You see it, Gary sees it, I see it, Dan sees it. Anybody that's paying attention sees that the Trump administration is incredibly faith-friendly. Obviously, we need to pray that continues. But we also need to step up and speak forthrightly, especially pastors in the pulpits. Sam, you're the president of the American Pastors Network. Talk for just a second as we round out this segment about what pastors need to be doing and how they need to be viewing this incredible open door of opportunity we have currently.
Well, Dave, I could go a number of directions on it, but even going back to a previous part of this conversation, we talked about Matthew 24:14 and Christ's words that the gospel must be preached to all nations and then the end would come. But Jude tells us as well that, that there's going to be a departure from the faith. There's going to be great deception that marks the end days. Anyone who knows the truth, and I'm going to say specifically in the pulpits, because those are the positions, as we know, that's the position, and Dave, you're an evangelist, you're in that position as well, that ordained position of God is the one that above all other positions are commanded by God to preach the Word of God, and that is all of what Scripture says. Don't pick and choose bits and pieces here and there, avoiding the controversial to pursue that which just feels good. The Scripture is the complete embodiment of truth, which means we have to identify sin. We have to talk about the face of evil. We have to warn our sheep in our congregation about the wolves who are out there to attack them. And Dave, really, at the end of the day, those positions, these individuals must, I think, feel the timeliness of where we are. They must sense the core
of the obligation and duty that comes with that position. And we know that they're going to answer and give account to God. So we've got to be driven by a fear of God more than a fear of man. We must be controlled by the Spirit of God, not by our own thoughts and thinkings. And we must at all cases not be compromising in any regard to what Scripture says to be true. Dave, this is what has to happen here right now. And I think we do, as you said, we have this window, but I don't know how long this window will be open, because we can see prophetical things happening around the world, and we give indication that there is but a window and that it won't be open that much longer, which is why we've got to step up now, why we have the opportunity.
Well, you know, gentlemen, I've just been reading through 2 Chronicles 15 and verse number 3, where God says, in those days, there was no true God, there was no teaching priest, and there was no law. And those three are connected together. When you don't see God as who he truly is, you have pulpits, priests in those days, pastors today, that are not communicating God's truth, then you end up having a society that is lawless. And that's exactly what we're watching happen in America. Well, our guest in the first half of the program has been Dan Kistler. Our theme is Giving an Answer Loud and Clear, Christians Speaking Up Courageously. Dan, I want to thank you for being on the program. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you to come back after this next break. We're going to talk about something happening in Dallas, Texas, that goes right along with what we're talking about. Christians need to speak up. Pastors need to speak up loud and clear. Don't miss the discussion on Stand in the Gap today.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
Well, yesterday it technically started in Dallas, Texas. The real big days are today and tomorrow. But this year's event is drawing a lot of extra attention because of the election of the SBC's next president and the impact that will have on the entire future of the nation's largest Protestant denomination. Everything rises and falls on leadership. So said Dr. Lee Robertson, for years the dignified and revered pastor of Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And friends, with that statement, I would agree wholeheartedly. Everything rises and falls on leadership. No denomination had gone further toward liberalism and returned from that brink, as did the SBC with its what's now been called conservative resurgence that actually began in 1979. It continued through the 80s and into the early 90s. But now, according to very concerned observers, the future of the nation's largest Protestant body is once again a matter of great concern. And I'm here urging all Bible-believing followers of Jesus Christ to pray fervently today and tomorrow about this gathering in Dallas. Pray for God's wisdom in the election of the next president of the SBC. Pray about the process. Pray about the outcome. Pray for a renewed and determined commitment to biblical authority and to obedience to the Word of God. And we've just been talking about that even in the last segment. Pray that the end result of everything that happens in Dallas this week will be an overwhelming recommitment to the direct and dynamic declaration of the gospel around the world. And friends, I assure you, the forces of evil have sharpened their collective swords in preparation for the most diabolical and insidious attack yet against the truth. So it's imperative that God's people bathe this week in energetic, earnest, and effective prayer. And I'll say it this way because I believe it to be the case. The rise or tragic demise of America's largest and most influential denomination depends on it, but not just the SBC. The entire future of evangelical Christianity is going to be affected for good or for ill by what happens in Dallas this week. I want to talk a little bit, men, about the conservative resurgence. It was actually achieved by the systematic election beginning in 1979, as I said, of conservative individuals to lead the Southern Baptist Convention. Theologically moderate, as they were called, and even liberal leaders were voted out of office. And though some, I guess you would say, senior employees were fired from their jobs, most were replaced through just simply what is sometimes called attrition. Conversely, moderate and liberal presidents, professors, and department heads at Southern Baptist seminaries, mission groups, and other convention-owned institutions were replaced by conservatives. And the resurgence has been called by some the most serious controversy ever to occur within the Southern Baptist Convention. Al Mohler, who many know as the president of Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, described it as a reformation achieved at an incredibly high cost. And part of that high cost, of course, was the departure of 1,900 churches from the convention. They broke away in 1990 to form the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, which, of course, is a very liberal group of churches. Sam, the conservative resurgence was made possible by men who were willing to see the truth. That is, where the convention had gone, it had shifted toward liberalism. But then they were willing to speak the truth with respect to what needed to be done to correct the error. And then the simple implementation of a workable biblical strategy to do what needed to be done took place. And without going into a lot of the specifics of the battle raging currently within the SBC, how vital is it, Sam, that Christianity as a whole, not just the SBC, but Christianity as a whole, have courageous men and women who are willing to give an answer, and that's our topic today, give an answer loud and clear?
Well, Dave, it's absolutely critical. And that's what the Lord expects. And that's what the scripture says. And I referenced in that last section about the Apostle Jude telling people we had to contend for the faith. Apostle Paul speaks about it. It's through scripture. We have the history of the Old Testament, of the Elijahs and the Isaiahs and the Jeremiahs who God sent to proclaim the truth. And even though they were outnumbered and they were in a clear minority position, the command from God has never changed. Truth has never changed. The attack on it ebbs and flows. And I think right now the attack on truth, we're seeing evidence in a great, grand way. But the obligation for those who know the truth, and can I use this word, the remnant? All of those who are a part of the remnant truly know Jesus Christ as Savior. That group of people, Dave, I believe that even like some of these individuals that you cited earlier in the program, some of these sports figures that have given clear testimony to Jesus Christ, would identify themselves as being a part of that remnant. And I think that the Holy Spirit inspires and gives strength and courage to those, but clearly those in positions of authority must speak the truth, be unwavering on the truth, because they're going to give an account to God for what they do in that perspective. And I think right now what we're witnessing in the convention in Texas is a grand effort of evil to attack the positions and those who have been leading on the side of truth. And frankly, as you say, we need to pray earnestly about this, because this is not just a convention issue. This is, I think, has a lot to do with the state of the church in America broadly. So this is a big deal.
Sam, it is a big deal, and I don't think it could have been any better worded than the way you worded it. And gentlemen, in the last 3 days, I've been spending a lot of time in the book of Ezekiel, and I was reminded again of something I knew, but man, was it underscored and highlighted to me again, that twice in Ezekiel's life, once in chapter 3, verse 17, and then again in chapter 33, verse 7, God calls his prophet Ezekiel a watchman on the wall. And I want you to listen, ladies and gentlemen, to the exact wording of what God says to his prophet. He says, and I quote, "Therefore hear the word at my mouth." That is the way the King James says it, at my mouth. It literally means in Hebrew, from my mouth. Hear the word from my mouth and give them warning from me. Now here's what's interesting, Gary and Sam. There's a little bit of a play on words here. Hear the word from my mouth is the Hebrew term, and give them warning, the King James says, from me. But literally the two words from me literally in Hebrew mean, again, from my mouth. So what you're to do as a watchman is get the word from my mouth and then give from my mouth that same word to the people. Don't water it down. Don't alter it. Don't massage it. Don't try to make it less impactful or less strong than it already is. Hear the word from my mouth and give to the people that exact word that has come from my mouth. So, Gary, you're a pastor. And Sam just talked about how critical it is for those in authority and leadership. We're talking a little bit about what's unfolding in Dallas currently, but speak to the enormous pressure that comes on a pastor not to speak with a clarion voice the truth. And then talk a little bit, if you would, about the consequences that will come, that have come in the past, when God's men fail to be watchmen on the wall.
Well, Dave, this is a very important discussion and very significant to pastors and people in the pew. Because, you know, pastors are under they face the sword almost every day from people within their congregation. And, of course, I think sometimes the devil himself is behind that. We're talking to pastors today, Dave, who probably, this is a Monday, they've already been criticized and ridiculed from some congregants on what they said yesterday, and undoubtedly because of the fact that they said the truth. And yet, every pastor has the responsibility to speak that truth. You made reference to Ezekiel 3 and 33. Those are two tremendous passages of Scripture as it relates to pastoral responsibility. And both of those contexts go on to say that if, in this case, the pastor preaches the truth and people don't hear it, then their blood is not on his hands. But if they preach the truth and the people do hear it, then he is going to be rewarded. And when I say hear it, I mean apply it to their lives. And so there's a warning that is very, very applicable to where we are today. But, you know, I think, Dave and Sam, that it's important for us to take into consideration the prayer that the Apostle Paul rendered to, actually the request that Paul rendered to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6, when he said, "And for me, pray that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And I would encourage every person under the sound of our voices today and every congregant to pray that prayer for their pastor, that they might be able to boldly speak the truth to make known the mystery of the gospel, because every pastor is an ambassador to speak as God has told him to speak. We need to pray that pastors have the boldness to speak the truth, even as Paul requested it. And if he's requested it, every one of us as pastors need to request it from those people who hear us as well.
Sam, we have just a little over a minute and a half until we have to exit this segment, but talk, if you would, a little bit for just a moment about the dire consequences that come when people do not communicate truth. And I don't care if that's in the pulpit or if it's coming from, as Gary said, a congregant in the pew. Either way, failure to communicate truth into a culture that desperately needs to hear it will result in some very catastrophic consequences. What are some of those?
Dave, if you could just hold out, come back in the next segment, I think.
You know what? I hear the music. We will do that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about giving an answer loud and clear, Christians speaking up courageously. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some very practical ways that you as a believer in Jesus Christ can speak up loud and clear. Don't miss this in our solution segment on the final segment of Stand in the Gap today. Join us right after the break. I'm out.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, every once in a while, you'll hear something that'll just literally ignite your soul with encouragement. And in the last several days, something akin to that has happened. I was communicating with a gentleman on social media who said he was, I think he said, driving through the state of Minnesota because his job requires him to be on the road. And he said, Dave, I actually heard your voice on Stand in the Gap today. And he said, I tuned in and I listened. And he said, that's prompted me to do this. It's prompted me to find the local station in my area and listen to the program on a very regular basis. And so, friends, I want to encourage you, if you like what you're hearing here, if you appreciate the forthrightness with which we try to communicate the truth, you can listen to these programs again. You can listen to this program again by going to our Stand in the Gap Radio website. And that address is just simply standinthegapradio.com. When you get to the homepage of the American Pastors Network, which is where that address will take you, standinthegapradio.com, will take you to the homepage of the American Pastors Network. And right in the center of the page will be three large orange tabs, one that says Stand in the Gap Today, another one that says Stand in the Gap Weekend, and a third one that says Stand in the Gap Minute. You click on any one of those three, and those are archived programs of the Today program, the Weekend program, the Minute or 60-second commentary program. And you can listen by title, by date, to any program that you've heard in the past, and then you can recommend these programs to others. And I would encourage you to do that. If you have friends, neighbors, coworkers, family members that you know would benefit greatly from listening to Stand in the Gap Today, put them in contact with us, notify them of our being on about 425 radio stations nationwide. All those stations are listed there on the website as well by state. And then if you don't have a station in your area, you can go to the radio website and right at the top of the hour, 12 noon till 1 o'clock, you can listen to the program on the internet as well. But stay in contact with us. Let us know what you appreciate about the program, as well as any suggestions that you might have as well. We love hearing. We absolutely love hearing from our listeners, and many of you communicate with us on a regular basis. We appreciate that more than we can possibly say. Sam, I want to go back to you and ask you that question. Our theme today is giving an answer loud and clear, Christians speaking up courageously. And you didn't have time to answer it because of the end of the segment, but I want you to answer it now. What are the dire consequences that will come, whether it's Dallas, Texas this week with the SBC convention and the vital vote that's going to take place tomorrow for their next president, as well as some other issues that are going to be debated and resolutions will be made with respect to, if people don't speak up loud and clear with the truth, not just at the SBC convention, but in culture at large, what are the catastrophic consequences that can result?
Well, Dave, I couldn't be perhaps more clear on this, is that our national, and our, let's put it this way, our ability as a nation to remain free, to remain a self-governing republic with the freedoms that we have in place, our Constitution, the ability to live our lives without horrendous persecution, those things will disappear. Those are the consequences. Now, why do I say that? Because this, God makes clear all the way through Scripture, and Israel was the prototype. It was very clear. He laid it out, for example, that when they would follow him and he would be their God, and they obeyed his commandments, Deuteronomy chapter 30, 15 through 19 makes it very clear. He said, God says, you follow my commandments, you follow my rules, you follow my statutes, you follow what I say for the governing of society. I will bless you, I will increase your wealth, and I will make you secure from your enemies. But that in other passages say, but if you choose the other way, you will cease to be a nation. I will drive you out of the land. The freedom that you have will be lost forever. And see, Dave, that's what we're facing here really is, will America continue? Will this nation survive as we have known it? And it hinges on our nation's ability to identify with what God says, fear him, and do what he says, or continue, I think, the path that we're on, where we want to walk away from God, redefine what moral truth is all about, and say, we've got a better way. Dave, it's really life or death for this nation. I couldn't say any more clearly than that.
Gary, I think Sam has laid it out about as clear as it can possibly be expressed. I'm looking again, 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse number 6, where a statement is made, and I know you know the passage well, where God says this. In fact, the scripture says it very, very clearly, that God did vex them, talking about Judah, the land of Israel, with all adversity because they had turned their back on him. God did vex them. You would think in one sense that it would say, well, the wicked one, the devil did vex them, or he brought, you know, all kinds of problems to the nation. But it says God did that because they had turned their back on him. So, Gary, until we're willing to make things right with the God of heaven, we really don't stand any chance whatsoever of having God's blessing on our life. And of course, as Sam said, part of that is recognizing God for who he really is and giving him his proper place and being willing to speak his truth unequivocally and certainly without fear. So talk a little bit, if you would, Gary, about what a nation must do, what a convention must do, what the individual person in the pew must do with respect to getting God's favor once again, and talk about what we must do as well, just practically speaking, about communicating these kind of things forthrightly, truthfully, and not being afraid to speak up loud and clear.
We know it's interesting, a parallel passage to that Second Chronicles text is Hosea 4 and verse 6, where God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And of course, you know, God had an issue with the Jewish people simply because of the fact that they basically put him out of the picture, as it were. And he vexed them. He brought destruction to them simply because of the fact that they did reject him. And the Bible teaches us in the New Testament that these things are written for our learning, and we certainly do need to take heed. But, you know, we need to get back to this concept of truth. I think in the first segment, Sam made reference to the book of Jude, where it tells us there to earnestly contend for the faith. And the faith there in Jude 3 speaks of the total embodiment of divine truth. And I think that whether we are in the pew or in the pulpit or in the government or wherever the case may be, a couple of principles, actually four of them, to keep before us include the following. Number one, and by the way, this is all based upon the fact that we need to get to know the truth, which is God's word. Number one, we need to speak the truth. Ephesians 4:15a says that. Secondly, we need to speak the truth in love, but with boldness. Ephesians 4:15b would teach that. Thirdly, we need to speak the truth to edify, not to cut down. Ephesians 4:29 speaks that. And then number four, we need to speak the truth to exalt the Lord. Colossians 3:23 would teach us that. And so it's the whole concept of knowing the truth, delivering the truth, because the truth is that which will set people free from the bondage of sin and direct them on the path to knowing Christ, to serving Christ, to glorifying Christ in their lives. That's the case for a person, a church, and a nation.
Sam, I want you to take us to the throne of grace in prayer. There's two vital meetings taking place, one today and tomorrow. That's the meeting in Singapore, president's meeting with Kim Jong-un of North Korea. We need to be praying about that. We also need to be praying about this vitally important SBC convention in Dallas, Texas. As well, we need to pray that God's people will speak up loud and clear with the truth, implementing the principles Gary just gave. So, Sam, would you pray about these?
Dear Heavenly Father, as we just close this program now, we pray for wisdom for those in positions of authority in government, particularly the president in the meeting with the Korean leader today. May you manifest your power there. The meeting in Dallas with the convention. Lord, may those uphold truth stand up and go forward on it, and may you be exalted there, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today. Giving an answer loud and clear, be sure to do that. Christians need to speak up courageously with the truth at this critical juncture, not just in U.S. history, but global history. Join us tomorrow for next installment.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today. Stand in the Gap today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit StandInTheGapRadio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap today.